Welcome to Balance Your Life, a podcast designed to motivate you to begin and maintain your health and wellness journey. My name is Megan Farrell. I'm the creator of the Balance by Megan brand, host of this podcast, yoga enthusiast and teacher, motivational and lifestyle speaker, and blogger. I love inspiring and empowering others to live a more positive, successful, healthier, and happier lifestyle. If this sounds like you, you're in the right place. Let's do this. Welcome, Katya, to the show. How are you today?
I'm very good, my dear. How are you?
Good, thank you. Can you tell everybody where you're joining us from?
Absolutely. So I am in Ajax, Ontario. I am in my basement because my eight-month-old is upstairs running around like a maniac, as much as he can run around at this age. But yeah, so I'm hibernating in my basement, some much-needed mom alone time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, do you want to give the listeners a little bit of background of who you are and what you're up to?
Sure. So my first name is Katya. A lot of people call me Kat, which is funny because I actually have a phobia of cats, but it works. It totally works. I am a new mom. I have an eight-month-old son, Xavier. I am married, my husband Dane. I am a yoga teacher. I'm a wife, a mom, daughter, a sister. I'm all kinds of things. And now I'm a mompreneur. So I'm excited. There's a lot going on right now.
That's amazing. And we had met because you had come into the studio where I was doing my 200 hours and you taught us a kids yoga certification, which was amazing.
That's right. Kids yoga was something that was not on my radar when I first started even considering teaching yoga. It was kind of one of those things that I was like, okay, that's cool, but not for me. Yeah. And then it just blossomed into this gigantic thing. And I was so grateful for the opportunity to do that certification because I feel like it opened up so many opportunities for me, but also for other yoga teachers that hadn't even considered that realm or that like audience for yoga. And kids yoga is just amazing, amazing, amazing. I was so grateful to have you there.
Yeah. And it's so nice that we've stayed connected. We've run into each other in person at a few events. I've seen you at the studio since. So before you even got started with kids yoga, how did you get involved with yoga to start?
Sure. So my first experience with yoga was actually with hot yoga. And it was with my now sister-in-law, who at the time was just like a friend of mine. And it was all about weight loss. We were like, we got to get skinny for summer. Let's try this new thing, hot yoga. It's like yoga and sweating and like, you're going to lose weight in like a week. And I was like, oh my God, I totally need that in my life. Like I want to be skinny like next week. So we went to hot yoga and I loved it. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I still do. But I got so much more from it than the weight loss. Like for me, it was all about getting skinny. And instead of losing like physical weight, I lost so much emotional weight. Like it was a release for me. The emotional impact that yoga brought into my life was the reason I stayed. Like, sure, I saw benefits in my physical body, but what it did to my emotional health was it got me hooked immediately. Like my first class, my first Shavasana, I was, you know, a yogi from that moment on, and the weight loss didn't matter anymore. It was all about the emotional intelligence and regulation tactics that I learned through yoga.
I love that so, so much. And there's kind of two ways that I want to go with that. But I just wanted to learn a little bit more. Where did you go to your first hot yoga studio? Was it in the surrounding area?
It was actually in Markham. We were living in Markham at the time. And the studio that I went to is actually no longer there, which is super unfortunate. But it's very much based in like the Bikram tradition.
Okay.
So the same poses, the same sequence, very vinyasa flowy, like very, very, and hot, like 100 degrees hot. Which again, it's great for some people and not so great for others. So you really have to love hot yoga to be in that kind of environment. But the physical stuff didn't even matter once you got to the Shavasana and the talk. Like that's what changed my life for sure.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people, I don't know if it, you know, this perception of what yoga should and shouldn't look like, but, you know, there's some people who are all about hot yoga or some people are not for it. I find it's a very an extreme basis. You're either loving it or you hate it. And for me, and I'm sure you just attested to it, I'm like, I don't care how you get started with yoga, just do it. And yeah, I find that most people, it becomes not so much about weight loss anymore, if that's initially why you started, but it becomes like so much more about emotions and learning more about yourself and adapting the philosophies into your life. So I love hearing that you went in with one thing and you came out with a billion other things.
100%. Honestly, I can't stress this enough, and I know it sounds like super over dramatic, but the practice of yoga, like, it literally changed my life. Like, I don't think that my life would be where it is now. My relationships wouldn't be what they are now. I don't even think I would be a mom if it wasn't for yoga, and not like, you know, being able to touch my toes yoga, but right. Like what it, the impact that it had on my relationships. Like it's changed my life 100%.
So was this, you said the first Shavasana you had, you were like a true yogi. Did you decide right there and then that you were going to learn more about yoga, or did you just stay going to the studio for a little bit? How did it kind of blossom from that first yoga class?
For sure. So for me, it was more, I stayed on as a student. Like, I wanted to learn from this teacher. I wanted to hear from her. Like, her Shavasana talks were in the Bikram tradition. There's no music during a yoga class. So it's the teacher talking and sequencing the whole time. So for her, her Shavasana was like an inspirational talk. And then you stayed there for 5-10 minutes to rest afterwards, but she kind of cued you into it with like a provocative thought or a question or an observation for you to kind of ponder while you're in Shavasana. So those like questions and topics kept me going. I mean, I loved the physical aspect as well, but it was that kind of got me hooked. And then I stayed with her in that studio, and then she opened up a different studio in Markham as well. And as I was going, she was like, oh, I've got an upcoming teacher training coming up. You should totally teach. And I was like, no way, not for me. I'm not, like, I can't do what you do kind of thing. And she's like, listen, she's like, you have your own talents and gifts to bring to this world. She's like, you're not going to be me. You're going to be you, and your students are going to come for you. And I was like, I don't know. And so I kind of left it at that. Didn't really think about it anymore. And then, but it stayed with me. Like it kind of percolated in my head, and I was like, oh my gosh, like maybe this is my path. Like maybe this invitation was given to me for a reason. And so that's when I considered teaching. It was never initially my idea. It was never something that I really saw myself doing. I was always comfortable talking to people, but the idea of like having to learn a sequence or teaching somebody something or standing in front of a group of people teaching them something was like foreign to me. But I said, you know what? I'm one of those people who like, I invite opportunities from the universe, right? I believe that things come up to you as they're meant to come up to you. And if you align to them, it happens. And I just so happened to align to this invitation, and it hit me right at the most pivotal point in my life. And it just ballooned from there. It was amazing.
That's amazing. Have you always been into receiving signs from the universe, or did this kind of grow as you stayed in the yoga practice?
It was definitely, I mean, as a younger, like, I want to say kid and like teenager, I was always into like horoscopes and numerology and like all like the fun aspects of it kind of thing,
yeah.
But never really taking it too seriously. It wasn't until I actually met Shasta at Balanced Life that I started to learn about aligning to, you know, source and aligning to the universe and being open to receiving. It was always like, I gotta go get. And now right. I'm more into like, I gotta be open to receiving, like less struggle, more alignment.
Yeah, I resonate so much with that. That's amazing. How long did you take yoga or keep going to yoga classes before you jumped into teacher training?
It was probably about 2 years.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was probably about 2 years.
It's something I hear all the time where people come up and I don't know if it's something they've heard or if they've talked to other people, but, you know, they have this assumption that they need to be doing yoga for 10 years and they need to be able to get into handstand and headstand before they can even consider a teacher training. And I'm like, that's not it at all. Like, some people walk into teacher training having done a yoga class and, you know, yep, like, we're doing this. We're figuring it out as we go along.
And I think that the big key for that is that a lot of people are realizing that even though it's yoga teacher training, it's so much more than that. And I don't even know if it needs like a rebranding or like what, but it's like a life-changing experience to go through teacher training. Like wherever, and I find like everybody kind of says that about the studio that they've done it at, because I didn't do my teacher training at Balanced Life. I did my further training there. But even that training changed my life. You know what I mean? Like everything you do, every course that you take, it enhances you as a person.
Yeah.
As a yoga teacher as well, but it has so much more impact in the bigger picture than just like the immediate, I'm going to use this to, you know, teach yoga.
Yeah. It's amazing. I 100% agree with you. I would like everybody everywhere to be doing a yoga teacher training. And like you said, not necessarily to go out and teach, but man, once you step into teacher training, like I feel like you just can't go back to your old way of life. Like your eyes are so much more open. You're so much more open to what is out in the universe and how to align with it and how to enjoy life is for me the bottom line of what I came out with teacher training with.
Yeah, and that's something that I try to talk to my students about now, like when I teach, because I still follow that kind of system and process of not doing like a musical shavasana. I try to give my students a topic to think about. And a lot of my students have no intention of teaching yoga or, you know, getting into headstand or anything like that. And it's so great for me to be able to tell them that that's totally fine. And it's almost even better. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's get away from like the crazy poses that we see that maybe like only 25% of the population that does yoga can actually do. And let's get into the actual, like the other limbs of yoga that mean so much as well, right? It's always nice to be able to convey that message to people, because as soon as you mention yoga to somebody, they're like, oh, I'm not flexible.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I can't do that. Or are you crazy? Like, I can't move that way. And it's like, it's so much more than that, right?
Yeah. It's such a small, small part of what yoga is. And yeah, if you can't touch the toes, maybe this is why we do some yoga. So you build that flexibility, but no, I 100% agree. Like when I came into teacher training, my whole purpose was, or my whole thought behind it was, I wanted to teach yoga. I wanted to do the cool yoga moves and I wanted to do, you know, the picture perfect Instagram worthy poses. And when I left, that was the furthest thing from my mind. Mm. I was someone who, like, when meditation came up in 200 hours, I was like, no, I'm tapping out. Like, I don't meditate. I don't sit there. Like, this is not for me. And it's one of my favorite things to do. I do it every single day for half an hour. And I preach it to every person who will listen to me. I'm preaching meditation to. So I resonate so much with that. Do you teach yoga now regularly?
Yeah, so I teach on Thursday nights. I have an amazing group of, actually, it's a dessert, we call it, to a Zumba class.
Cool.
So we do Zumba for an hour.
Nice.
And then the dessert to that Zumba is a half an hour of yoga. And it's amazing. Like, at first, people came because they were curious. A lot of this group is like, I do Zumba because I don't like yoga, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, because for them, Zumba is like fun and lively and yoga is like serious and you have to be quiet and you just sit in silence and there's no smiling and all that kind of stuff, right? All these perceptions that we have of yoga. And it's like, it's so nice to be able to introduce them to yoga in a way that resonates with them, because I'm a Zumba-holic too, right? Like, you can have both. It doesn't have to be like polarizing. You can totally do an hour of Zumba and dance your butt off and then do an amazing, relaxing yoga class, or you keep it light and fun. And that's what honestly drew me to kids yoga.
Yeah.
So that it was this totally different, I mean, opportunity and audience, and I can go on and on about that, but it's just, it refreshes your way of teaching, because you realize that there's so many different ways to go at this practice. There's so many different ways to practice it, to teach it, to speak about it, to live it, that you're full of creativity. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I know we have so much to talk about with this, but I'm just curious because I think a lot of people, when they hear kids yoga or children's yoga, lately I've been noticing this light up in their eyes, like, oh my God, you have a solution for my child, whether they're, you know, in their mind out of control, or they're too hyper, or the doctor wants to put them on pills and they don't want the kids to go on pills. How did kids yoga formulate for you from all of this?
It's so funny. This was before I had kids, before kids was even on my radar. I had already done my teacher training, and one of my husband's, okay, how am I going to say this? My husband's cousin's wives, her kids are in karate. And she's like, oh my gosh. She's like, can you teach my kids yoga? And I was like, not really my audience, not really my thing. I don't even know where to start.
Right.
And it just so happened again, of course, the universe. I walk into a studio to do a restorative yin training. And there's a poster on like their message board saying upcoming kids yoga certification. And I was like, okay, listen, like I talked to this woman like 3 days ago, all of a sudden this poster shows up, like, that's it. Like, I'm very open like that. I'm probably a little bit too spontaneous where I'm just like, the universe is talking to me every 5 seconds. Like, I need to listen to everything, right? So it's, yeah. Everything is a sign now, right?
Yeah.
But I took it. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to do it. There's so many kids in my life. I have so many nieces and nephews. Again, never thinking of bigger picture. I was thinking like immediate family.
Okay.
And once I took the certification, and there were so many different people in that course, there were school teachers that had nothing to do with yoga, there were grandmothers, there were parents, there were like special education workers, like there was so, it's such a diverse group of people that were interested in kids yoga. And that kind of piqued my interest, because I'm like, listen, the world is actually listening. And if I benefited so much from yoga as an adult, like almost in my late 20s, early 30s, imagine what we could do for children, introducing them to these practices at a young age.
Yeah.
And then again, just like you said, the more you talk to parents, the more they're like, my kid needs yoga. Like, my kid needs yoga. And it's like, I get why now. Now that I teach it and I see kids and I see them change through the process and I see parents notice that, mm-hmm. it makes it all worth it. It's evident how impactful yoga is for kids.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's it really is amazing when you do start to introduce it to kids at a very young age, from the time they're, you know, infancy. And granted, they're not going to grasp anything at that young age, but as they grow older, like it's constantly in their life. I used to work for a daycare, and I used to do yoga with my school-agers and my toddlers, and sometimes toddler yoga lasted 5 minutes, and that was as far as it was going. And sometimes it lasted 15 or 20 minutes. And I would be like, oh my goodness, like they're participating. They're sitting like still while like moving and doing some of the poses. And it was amazing to see them doing it and loving it. I know we have a lot to cover, but can you give maybe a parent or a grandparent or maybe someone who works with children just a little overview of what is entailed with teaching kids yoga? Like, are you doing an hour worth of yoga and trying to get them up into handstand, or are you trying to sit still for an hour and close their eyes?
Absolutely not. And that's the great thing about kids yoga, is that you can totally, and just like with any type of yoga class, you can modify it to your audience.
Right.
So if you have a group or even one child who literally cannot sit still for 2 minutes, mm-hmm. then do 30 seconds, do a minute and a half, and you slowly build, right? You're going to have to, with kids, you're going to have to tailor it to them to a certain extent,
right?
Because you're not going to get a four-year-old to sit still for 45 minutes or an hour or even 5 minutes sometimes. Some days are going to be like just they're bouncing off the walls, and you have to modify your class to that. And some days they're like, you know what, let's read a story, let's color, let's do this. And we have to understand that yoga is so much more, as much for the kids as for the adults, more than the poses.
Yes.
Right? There's mindfulness practices, there's breathing techniques, there's listening techniques, there's all these skills that they can learn during kids yoga that they can then transfer onto their real lives. Like, we play this game in kids yoga called Yogi Says, which is just like Simon Says,
yeah,
but it's with yoga poses. And it really gets them listening to us as yoga teachers and to their peers, but also they then take that home and they're like, oh, was I really listening to mommy and daddy? Was I really listening to my siblings? That kind of thing. So whether you're a school teacher or a grandparent or a caretaker, and you just need ideas and ways to connect with children, kids yoga is the way to do it. It's just, it opens up so many different ideas and creative ways of thinking that will resonate both with the teacher and with the child.
That's amazing. I have noticed lately some schools are participating. I wish more, but you know, we got to start somewhere. And there are some schools participating in yoga and meditation, and the amount of bullying even that has gone down in these schools is insane. Have you had that feedback come back to you from parents?
Yeah, you know what it is? I think it changes the energy. It changes the way that kids deal with their emotions, right? And a lot of it has to do with their environment and what they're dealing with at the time. But when you can learn to self-regulate what you're feeling beyond what's going on around you, right? If the world around you is crumbling down and you yourself are centered, that doesn't matter. The world outside doesn't matter. And for children, that's sometimes a lot about quieting their minds, right? Because a lot of children are very sensitive to external noises and bullying and peer pressure and all that kind of stuff. So if they have a mechanism from an early age to decipher what is meaningful for them versus what isn't meaningful for them, that's priceless. If you can teach a six-year-old to quiet their mind and regulate their fear or their sadness or their hyperness or whatever the case might be, that's a gift that they carry on for the rest of their life. The same way that as an adult, you would want to be able to quiet the mind, shut down the noises, you know, clear yourself of the external pressures and external, I want to say the word garbage. Like there's so much stuff out there, negativity, that as an adult, you just want to close your ears to. And if we can learn to do that from a young age, then, I mean, it's an amazing gift to be able to give children. It's amazing.
Yeah, like I said, I did the kids yoga with you, the certification with you, but the way you just worded it as an adult, we want to quiet the mind and we want to not be as influenced by external factors as possible. And as an adult, it seems like you kind of grasp that idea, but to think about that from a kid's point of view, that's really powerful. That's really impactful and amazing. Wow, thank you for sharing that. That's amazing.
And thank you. And the thing is, you teach it to them in ways that they understand. So you teach it to them, you teach them words like empathy and compassion and, you know, thoughtfulness, things that they might not necessarily hear in their everyday vocabulary. They hear kind and nice and that kind of thing. But what does it actually mean? And now there's so many tools to teach kids these things. There's, you know, mindfulness cards and games and, you know, affirmation cards, like all these amazing tools that are there for you that resonate with kids. There's YouTube videos. I mean, like, that's what I always say to people. And whether they're kids or adults, it's, you know, if you're not into the studio thing or you're not into the class thing, like, turn on YouTube. Like, there's so many free resources, or call a friend, or, you know, if you know a yoga teacher, like, get them to come to your house and teach you things. Like, there's not this need to go to these outside things. Yoga is so much about yourself and your personal environment that you can do it anywhere.
Yes. This is amazing. I 100% agree. Most of us have access to the internet or a computer or a phone. And yeah, throw on YouTube. You can do it in your home. You can do it on your schedule. Sometimes it is nice to go to a studio and meet new people, but sometimes it's nice just to be able to do it at home, especially in the moment that you need it. So we're doing Zumba, we do kids yoga teacher training, you're a yoga teacher, and I know you have something new on the go too. Do you want to tell everybody what it is that you're doing with your new line?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called Back to Nature Mama, and it is something that just blossomed, just like yoga did for me, out of, you know, my life experiences. And when I got pregnant with Xavier, I got really into reading product labels about what I was going to use with my baby and what I wasn't going to use with my baby and what was safe and what wasn't safe. And you are bombarded as an expecting a new mom and even as a human being with no kids with all these products that have all these labels of ingredients that you have no idea what they are. And then you Google them and like even the description is confusing, even on the natural products. And I was like, what do you do? Like as a mom, and this child is like a day old, like what are you putting on their skin, right? So all of these things kind of just blossomed into, okay, maybe I'll start making my own stuff and maybe I'll start using it on my family and that kind of thing. And then the more I used it as almost a hobby and almost just like a personal thing between myself and my husband and our baby, it just grew and grew and grew. And I realized that so many moms out there were in the same situation where they were like, I don't really trust that product, or I don't really know what to put on my baby. What's safe with essential oils? What's not safe with essential oils? All of these questions that as soon as you pop into Google, you get more questions than answers sometimes, right? Where yeah. You get so many polarizing opinions. And I can tell you as a new mom with all the hormones and all the like mom pressure and shaming and, you know, guilt and all of those emotions that come with being a mom, you really just want a product that you can trust. And for me, that was something that I made myself. And I decided to just share it with people. I said, you know what, if there's moms like me, or even just non-moms, just people out there like me who want to use natural, clean, organic products that are safe, and you don't have to worry about what's this going to do for me 40 years down the road. It just, like I said, it just blossomed into something. And it was an opportunity for me to just share it. And I said, you know what, like enough with sitting on the sidelines, just like yoga. Like I'm not happy enough just being a student and not sharing this with the world. Like this is something that people out there need. So yes, long story short, it became this opportunity to just share it with people. So yes, the product line is like body scrubs and face lotions and body lotions and products for babies to help them sleep and massage oils. Like it's, the possibilities are endless, and we're just launching now. So it's still pretty fresh. But it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited to share it with the world because it's just another way of keeping and maintaining wellness in our lives.
That's amazing. And it's, I know you said there's some baby products and stuff for new moms, but you had posted a few things on your social media. I'm like, I don't have a kid and I want this. Like, this looks amazing.
Well, because as women and even as men, like we tend to neglect our skin. We use the same soap that our parents used and that we've used all our lives. And then we realize that there's like, oh, what's that residue on my skin, or what's that? Or, and a lot of the products that are in the grocery stores have a lot of preservatives just for shelf life. That's the only reason, right? Like nobody's going to put bad things into products. It's just to keep them on a shelf. And when you remove that stuff, what's actually left is all the good stuff. Right. And that's what people need to be putting on their bodies.
This last like month or two, really, I have been probably from all this yoga, but, you know, I've been really trying my hardest to eat better and like still enjoy things in life. Like I have a sweet tooth, but I'm trying to nourish my body and eat better. And it transitioned to like one day I had like, oh my God, what am I putting on my skin? Like I don't, you know, Dove soap and, you know, I don't know if this is, should be going on my skin. Why am I taking care of all the internal stuff and I'm not so much realizing what I'm putting on the outside of my body? And lately I've been really, really careful about learning more about skin product and hair product, because it's all part of us, and you can't treat one thing without treating the other. So I'm so glad you brought that out, because I think it's really important. And I don't know, sometimes in the yoga world too, we can look at aesthetic part of things as like materialistic, and we're not supposed to be attached so much to that. But I think it all coincides together. It's your body. It's your container of energy. You have to nourish it and take care of it and give it good, healthy things.
And also, like, I totally agree with you. It's one of those things where it's like, it's a very holistic way of looking at wellness, like wellness in your mind, in your spirit, in your body, what you eat, what you wear, like all of that stuff, right? It all has like a bigger picture in terms of, you're right, like the container that actually houses us. And when you think about the effects of the products that we used as kids, like sure, we turned out all right, but there's also this like growing instances of disease and cancer and allergies and all kinds of things. And we have to ask ourselves, like, where is this all coming from, right? And if we're going to end it, it has to be our generation. Like, our generation seems to be like the most open to, like, oh, you know, what's in the ingredients of the bread that I've been eating for the past 15 years? And what's in the ingredients of the lotion that I'm putting on my body? Like, when you think about the amount of absorption that your skin does for your body, like, it's your entire container, right? So all of the things that you put on your body are going in your body one way or another. And you really want to be careful. And especially, I mean, obviously with yourself, but with babies too, and kids in general, like, we want to be able to raise them in a way that they feel safe about the products that they're using, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's so, so true. And yeah, as a baby, like, to have a newborn, or, you know, a baby of any, or a child of any age, we can't always help in the environments where we live. Maybe you live, you know, Toronto or Los Angeles or New York, where, yeah, you are being kind of bombarded by pollution, or maybe not the greatest air quality, but at the very least, you can take care of your body and what you're putting in it and what you're putting on it, because we can't always help the outside factors, but we can control what we're ingesting and putting on us and all that stuff. So this is amazing. How, you know, you said it kind of came naturally to you, but have you always been interested in skin? Did you, you know, do a workshop that kind of spurred this? How did this really come? How did this hit the ground running for you?
Yeah, so I think for me, I've always been interested in more natural ways of doing things.
Okay.
But it really hit me when, again, I had, once Xavier was born, and he was like mine and ours to take care of, I was like, oh my God. Like, and if I'm being so careful with the products that I'm putting on him, like, why am I not being careful with the products that I'm putting on me? Like, I need to kind of stick around for this kid, right? Like, I need to be around to take care of him. So if I'm so careful about the detergent that we use on him and all that kind of stuff, like, why am I okay with, you know, filling myself with toxins and not filling him, right? So I have to take care of myself to be able to take care of him. And so that's really what, like, ballooned this into something bigger. And honestly, we have, like, this amazing support system of holistic and natural people. So we have our chiropractor and our naturopath and, you know, all kinds of people that are there for us, reassuring us that we have good instincts and we need to trust them. And if something doesn't feel right, then it's probably not right. And I'm so grateful for that community of people here in Durham that, like, you're just there as, like, a sounding board. And they're like, listen, mama, listen, girl, listen, woman, you've got this, like, trust yourself. And without them, honestly, my parenting journey would be very, very different, 100%.
So a lot of this, a lot of the product that you're making, have you self-taught yourself of what should be going into these products?
Yeah, you know what? It was a lot of experimenting with what worked for us, what I didn't like, and I'm still experimenting, right? Like, I'm still asking people for feedback and what, you know. And the great thing about homemade products, or, like, locally made products, is that you can customize them.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes to me and says, listen, you know, I love your sleep oil for babies, but I'm not a fan of lavender. Is there a different oil that you can use? Absolutely. And that's the great thing, is that it's like this personal relationship with your clients, that if somebody says, oh, you know what, I want to make a bath bomb or a bath scrub for my mom and she loves these scents, can you make it? 100%. 100% we can. So it's that personal relationship that I just, it's not this, like, consumer client salesy kind of relationship. It's like this community of, like, people that want the best for each other, which I think is what drove me to make it bigger, was the fact that these are real moms, real women, real men that want natural, better products.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I love what you're doing. I've seen some of it starting to make its way into my social media, and all of it looks so amazing. And I love what you say about customizing it. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about, you know, diets and kind of a lot more about diets, but the way they worded it is, like, as doctors or practitioners out there, we tend to give, like, here's a solution and we want it to work for 100 different people. And 99 of those people all have different sensitivities, or some things work for them, some things don't work for them. they were mainly talking about, you know, like the keto diet, sometimes that works for other people. Sometimes it does not work for others. Vegan, sometimes vegan works for people. Sometimes raw vegan works for people, but raw vegan doesn't work for other types of vegans. You know what I mean? Like this kind of, we need to get into the habit of knowing our own bodies and knowing what works for us. I like peppermint essential oils. Maybe person B down the road hates it, but we should be able to customize what we like and what we don't like and make it our own. So I love that you do that with product line and really listen to what the consumer likes and doesn't like. Like this person who didn't really like lavender oil, that doesn't mean you're not going to put lavender oil in your baby, in baby sleep oils, but this it doesn't work for this person, so now you're giving them another option. And I think that's really amazing of you and very smart to listen to what works for people and adapt it into your product line.
Well, thank you. And I think that's something that kind of resonated with me, because when I was like, again, like a new mom kind of Googling questions that I had, all the answers that I was getting were like, oh, that doesn't really apply to my case, or this kind of sounds like my case, but it's not exactly like what I need. And right. It wasn't until, like, as much as we are on this like online platform and there's answers to every single question, you can't replace that human interaction,
yeah.
Right? You can't replace that. So when you have a question, you have like this person on the other end who's actually listening and says, oh, you know what? Try this, or, you know, mix in a little bit of this and all that kind of stuff. And it applies to everything. It applies to, you know, the product line for Back to Nature Mama. It also applies to yoga. Like there are poses that people like absolutely love that the person on the other mat, like it does not feel good in their body. Right. So I always, always tell students, like, listen to your own body. If I, you know, cue you into a pose and it's just not feeling good today or ever, like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't. And if there's a pose that I haven't cued you into that you really feel like doing today, like go for it.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where it's like, we don't live in a cookie cutter world, and we're now more open to expressing ourselves and making things customizable to what we need. And it's changing everything. It's changing the way that we practice yoga. It's changing the way that we interact with, you know, our bosses. Work-life balance is different now. All of that stuff, it's all tied together, right? So it's great to be able to be in a position to say to somebody, oh, cool, you like this product, but you want to change it a little bit, or you want to make it special for your mother-in-law or your baby or your mom or whoever, or yourself. Like that to me is amazing, because it's somebody who went to a store, didn't find exactly what they were looking for, felt like they were never going to find it. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute, you can make it for me. Like, yeah, absolutely. I can make it for you.
Yeah.
And maybe even empower them to make it themselves. Right. Like it's time to start taking things into our own hands here. Right. Cause you know, we gave it away and now it's not working.
Yeah. That's awesome. Are there any other wellness practices that you do on a daily basis, or other types of fitness or health routines that you incorporate into your life?
I am a big fan of two other things beyond yoga and meditation, and they are sleep and walking.
Sleep and walking.
Me, and it's so funny because you were talking about this yesterday on the Deepak Chopra podcast that you highlighted.
So good. Yeah.
When you were like 8 hours to sleep, I am a big advocate of sleep. Like I know myself, I don't function on low sleep, and I've like literally been very boundary oriented around sleep. Both for myself, for Xavier, and everybody's like, oh, we want to see the baby. And I'm like, whoa, I'm sleeping. Like, he needs to sleep. I need to sleep. Like, everybody needs sleep. Because it's, to me, it's vital. And there's like this expression that has been around for so long where it's like, you know, I'll sleep when I die. And it's like, yeah, but that's all you're going to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you don't sleep now, you're not living. You're not at your maximum potential. And nothing highlights that more than being a new mom, because if you're not sleeping, you're not functioning. You're not, you know, your best self. And so to me, sleep is like way, way, way up there. I'm very, very respectful of my need for sleep and walking. For me, like I could dance for an hour. I could walk for an hour. I could run for like 30 seconds. Like it's not my thing, but I could walk for a day kind of thing. Right. So, you know, for me, my advice to anybody who wants to just get more physically active is to find anything that you like. It doesn't have to be like extreme, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, an hour of anything. Go for like a walk to the mailbox. Go for, you know, a walk around your neighborhood. Nobody does that anymore, right? Like nobody goes for walks anymore. It's like we're afraid to like interact with our neighbors or be seen by our neighbors or that kind of thing. So I think, yeah, just for me, it's keeping it really simple, you know, sleep, walking, yoga. And it doesn't have to be an hour of yoga. It can be literally a 30-second meditation. It can be, you know, you're in the shower, you close your eyes, you take a few deep breaths. Like that's yoga. And that's what people need to understand, is that it doesn't have to be this, you know, 90-minute hot yoga, sweaty class.
Yes.
That's what you're into. Go for it. But my advice to people is always like, start with what works for you. If a studio down the road is not working for you, but the 30-minute drive one is working for you, go to the 30-minute drive one, right? Like there's no point in signing up to anything that you're not going to actually stick to. Find what works for you and stick to it, because distance won't matter. You know, time won't matter. If it's what is actually going to keep you going, it's what matters. That's what matters. Because if YouTube works for you, stick to it or start with it. If, you know, a friend, if you need a buddy or you don't want a buddy, like everybody's so unique and different. You have to find what works for you and just trust that. It doesn't have to be what works for your neighbor or your friend or your sibling or your spouse.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was actually going to ask you about any tips or tricks for someone starting out new, but you just laid all of it out there. So that's amazing. And yeah, I agree. Like, I think people get caught up in, oh, I tried yoga one time and I hated it, so it's definitely not for me. And it's, you know, there's so many different factors that play into that equation. What kind of yoga were you doing? Maybe it was the teacher. Like there are some teachers I will go to every single class that they offer, and then other teachers, I don't think they're bad people or anything, but I just don't resonate so much with them. But that's okay, like, because I get my yoga fix from other yoga teachers and, you know, from online videos. I'm a big believer in, yeah, just walking. My husband and I walk regularly. Like we do a walk around the neighborhood, and I can only imagine what some of the neighbors think, like us just doing like a lap around our neighborhood. But there's something so therapeutic about walking and moving and just, you know, I think it was Jenny the other day, and she said like motion is lotion, like for the body part. And I'm like, yeah, like sometimes, you know, when you're feeling stiff and you just move a little, you're like, oh my God, this feels amazing.
It's so funny. Like I just saw something this morning on social media that was like, movement is the best medicine. And it's like, it's true. Like any kind of movement, if you want to do like a jumping jack or you want to like stretch or any kind of movement is the best medicine. It totally is. We need to get off pills and all kinds of other things and just move. Just be like old school and just move.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you on that. Well, this has been such a fun conversation to have. I feel like I've gotten to know you so much more in this short period of time. And I can't wait to see what you come up with the Back to Nature Mama and what you do kids yoga wise and yoga teacher wise. Where can everybody go and find you?
So I am on a couple of places and they're all related, but I do keep them somewhat different. I keep my Yoga Peeps with my Yoga Peeps, and I keep my Back to Nature Mama separate in terms of social media, but they're definitely related and I'm constantly cross posting. So that's always fun. But in terms of kids yoga, you can find me on Instagram. My yoga handle is Nava Vida. So Nava is Nava, Vida is Vida yoga. And Nava Vida yoga, well, Nava Vida translates to new life. And so that to me really resonated with me. Nava is Sanskrit, Vida is Spanish, which are like kind of like my two worlds. and so that to me really resonated. So you can find me with anything yoga related and also baby related really on that handle. And then the Back to Nature Mama is just all one word, the way it sounds, Back to Nature Mama. And really that is my Instagram handle for the product line. It will also include some adventures from Xavier and I for this summer. And I throw Dane into the mix too. Obviously he's around. He's unfortunately working, which one of us has to do outside of the house, but it's all good. So he'll be in that feed as well. But yes, you can find me either at navavidayoga.com or at the Instagram handle or Back to Nature Mama on Instagram as well.
Awesome. And I will link all of that in the show notes so people can just click on it. Maybe they're driving or walking, and if they want to connect with you, that will all be in the show notes. So thank you so, so much for this conversation, Katya.
I love you, girl. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you for this platform, and I'm so grateful for all of the things that you're introducing to me even, and others out there, like this whole world of podcasts. I consider myself like technically young-ish, but I'm old and I don't know this stuff. Like, you know me and my whole Instagram story, but I'm still learning all of these new cool hip ways that you guys are all interacting with everything. So I'm grateful to you for taking this like ancient wisdom and practice and, you know, Deepak Chopra that people are like, who is that? And turning it into like a podcast and turning it into like a story and you know, linking other people's stuff. Like I love it. So thank you for all of it and for encouraging us to kind of broaden our horizons and do cool things with you cool people.
thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much to my friend Katya Famanske for coming onto the show. Go follow her and all of her adventures. I will link all of the ways to connect with her in the show notes. And finally, we still have only a few spots available for the Yoga Teacher and Wellness Professionals Retreat in Costa Rica. This will be led by myself and Amanda Kingsmith from Mastering the Business of Yoga. This retreat is designed for all of you mamapreneurs, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs looking to grow and expand your yoga and wellness business. We have tons of workshops in mind for you focused on the business side of things. So we're talking social media, goal setting, vision boarding, and also how to run your own retreat. There will be lots of downtime, time to relax, time to collaborate and connect with other like-minded people. But we will also be doing these really informative workshops. So I hope you will be joining us for them. If you want more information, head on over to my website, www.balancebymegan.com. And I will, of course, link all of that in the show notes. Until next week, namaste.